Boker Tov, Chanukah Sameach world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud. And yesterday we went through the various possibilities about how far we would take the idea of Palginan Dibure. We had the two cases where the modem was Mesim Atzmei Rasha, on the one hand, and at the same time, was trying to say a testimony. So there we had two separate issues where we could say Palgin and Dibure. Then we investigated the question about whether if it's in the same din, which was talking about a case of adultery, where he is an aid, but an aid posel vis-a-vis his wife. Today the Gemara wants to make some further clarifications about this din that we had, the Gabe, I think we may have done this already yesterday, right? The question of somebody is made, what is he chayav on in terms of hazama? I believe I did, but let's do it again anyway, just in case. Let's go to Ve'omar Rava. I'm almost positive we did this. Ve'omar Rava, ploni ba'al na'ara amura uza amura savu huzmu. So if you have Aiden, let's say that this Mr. X, he had slept with a Na'araha Mu'urasa. We're over there. There's a Chiyav Misa. And the Eidim come along, made it on him. And then it turns out that they weren't even in that area. So that's called Hazama. So the din over there is that they're Neheragin, but Ein Mishalmin Momon. So as we saw yesterday, if you have Momon and Misa for the same case, the halacha is that we do not punish both. We only give the din of Misa, and there's no chiyav of Tashlumin. So even though over here they were attempting to lose the ksuva for this woman, but since they would have been chayav had they killed this Nara Murasat, therefore they're putter on the Moma. Now, in this case, if they didn't say who the Arusa was, so they actually didn't even cause any kind of loss of mamon. So in that case, even though you might be able to get into the question of whether it's two different people, which lechora we don't have over here, you don't have to pay at all. There's obviously a bit of a problem here because you wouldn't have had to pay anyway since we don't pay and actually lose life at the same time. All right, so there's a lot of discussion, like, what's the chiddush over here? Even if we do know the identity of the woman, and of course the Mefarshim explained that we found out the identity of the woman, but what the chiddush of Rava is that they hadn't aimed their edus at that, so because of that, they wouldn't have been chayef. But anyway, here's where it gets more interesting. Suppose he identifies the person. So he says it's Bito Shalploni, and it turns out that they were lying, so now we have two separate chiyuvim. Because on the one hand, we have the Chiyav Misa, that they were coming to be Mechayev, the Arusa, and the person who had slept with her. On the other hand, they are causing the loss of the Ksuva to the Arusa's father. If we're talking about over here, Aktana, so then the father is the one that could have collected the Ksuva. Of course, it's only the option of the Ksuva, which is not the full value of the Ksuva, as we explained yesterday. So in this case, since it's Mamon Lezeh Nefashot Lezeh, the monetary chiyav is to the father, and the Nefashot chiyav is to the pair of the adulterers. So in that case, you would have to pay. The Yomar Rava, how about another case? We were talking about Pagian Dibura. Let's imagine a case like this. A person testifies that Ploni Rava Hashor, in the event that he did not identify the shor. So he claimed that somebody sodomized the shor. So the din over there is that both the animal and the individual are killed. But in this case, he didn't say which animal it was. And it turned out that they were muzah. So in that case, there was no chiv for paying for the shor because we didn't know who the shor was. And they didn't say who the shor was, because of that, there was only one chiyav. They were trying to get the sodomizer killed. Masha Inkein, if they do identify the shor, so suppose they say shoro shoponi, then they were going to be causing two separate chiyuvim. they were going to have the ostensible sodomizer killed, and they were going to lose the shor for the owner of the shor. So then it's mamon lezeh unefashot lezeh. Yeah, well, obviously, said the Gemara, you just explained that. I mean, you taught us that halacha benogia, the din of the nara ha'urasa, right? I mean, are you adding anything here? No, the truth is, says Rava, yeah, he's not adding anything. But Rava wanted to bring up this story where it's basically the same halacha. He wanted to bring up a question that was actually relevant to the earlier sukkah that had to do with the case of the shor. And that was, Bishum Tekoboi Eluye, Rava himself had an additional question about that issue. Tekoboi Rava, suppose the testimony was that so-and-so had sodomized my shor. And what would be the din over there? Can he testify against his own shor? So remember that we have this amazing halacha that when it comes to cases where an animal is going to be killed, the Torah compares the din of the animal to the din of the owner. And just like we need a full-scale Bezdin and Edim for the owner, we need to go through exactly the same type of din for the shor itself. So now the question is, if the person would just tell the Bezdin that his shor was sodomized, he can't be mechayev that shor because he needs to be a witness. The question is, can he, together with another individual, be a witness against his own shor? So that's a question that revolves around the issue of mi amrinan, adam korov etzel atzmo, but ein adam korov etzel mamono. How do we view this fascinating question of the extension of a full din and full human rights to the animal? So what is happening essentially? Are we saying that this person would be able to testify because, after all, this shor is just something that he owns? Or do we say, no, he's a relative to this shor? Because basically what he's doing is, this is the only case we would have that a person needs to be a valid witness against his own property. And we're giving this property the same din that we would give him. Does that make him a relative, so to speak? And he's now unable to testify against his shor because it's like testifying against his human relative. O Dilma, maybe we would say, Adam Korov Eitzel Atzmo, Eitzel Mamono as well. That's the question. Bater de Boyot Apashta, after Rava asked this question, he answered it for himself. The din is that Adam Korov Eitzel Atzmo, but that does not give him a din to be a actual relative and therefore possible for testimony against his own property. For that, he could actually join up with some other person who saw the event and testify against his own shor. Moving on now to the next case of the Mishnah, which was the machlokas that we had about how many people we need for a bezdin when it comes to a chiyav of malkas. So we said makot bishlosha, and then we had the shita that says that no, makot is be'esrim bishlosha. So first of all, how do we know that the Tanakama that says that we only need three, what's the basis of that? Omer Avuna, look, the entire din, remember, of the din of Makos. Now, this is fascinating because we have just been examining the din of Edim Zomimi. And it happens to be that the entire halacha of giving Makos is said specifically in the case of Edim Zomimi. So it says over there, Ki yariv bein anashim. Now, it's not obvious on the surface that we're talking about Edim Zomimim, but it says over there, there is a legal battle between people, they come into court, and Ushvatum, they are judged, Vitzdiku et atzadik, Virshiu et arasha, and then they find one of the people innocent, one of the people guilty, V'ayayim bin hakot arasha, if it turns out that the person who was actually chayev was chayev malchus, then it goes ahead and defines that you're supposed to hit him with lashes 39 times and so on. So, if you read that pasuk carefully, says Ravuna, the word ushvatum refers to two judges. And that would mean that we would have a Beis Din of two. But remember our general rule, Ein Beis Din Shakul, since we need Hataya, you cannot have a Beis Din that is even, and therefore, in this case, we'd have to have three Dayanim, which gives us three Dayanim from Malkus. Vasif en aleim od echad, arekan shlosha. Ask the Gemara, now wait, you said if I read the Pasuk carefully, actually, if I read the Pasuk carefully, I end up with more than three judges, because look, the beginning of the Pasuk said, besides that Shvatum, what did it say? Vihitzdiku et atzadik, that's two people. Vihishiu et arasha, that's another two people. Obviously, I don't really need to be told Hitzdiku or Shiu, do I? So the only purpose in that would be to add a reference to the number of people, which equals six. Shoftu, Hitzdiku, Irshiu. And then we would say Ein Beis Din Shakul, which would give us seven. So where does the Tanakhama get the idea from Shoftu alone without including the Hitzdiku v'Irshiu? Answers the Gemara, those two extra words are actually extremely important and are needed to tell me the fundamental halacha about Edim Zomimim. Now, Humi Boy Leke de Ula, actually, that piece, which sounds like it's completely irrelevant, is needed to teach me Ula's halacha. Ula said, where is there, somewhere in the Torah, a hint to this concept of Edim Zomimim? Remez Edim Zomimim in HaTorah Minayim. So the Gemara is shocked by that ridiculous question. What the heck are you talking about? Remez la'enim zomimim. The Torah said beferish, v'asitemo ka'asher zomam la'asot la'ach. I don't understand what you're saying. The Torah says, due to a witness that was found out to be in a different place, whatever it was that he had planned to do to his neighbor. And therefore it should be an obvious answer. What do you mean a remez? It's not a remez. It's a beferish of pasuk. No, what Ula actually meant was remez la'edim zomimim shelokin minai. There are cases where we cannot give an eid zomim to do to him what he wanted to do to the other guy. For instance, let's say that eidim come along and they say that a certain Kohen is actually not a kosher Kohen. He's a Ben Gurusha, and therefore he's puzzled for the Kohen. Turns out that they were somewhere else when they claimed to have seen that marriage, and they were lying. Well, what can we do to them? We can't exactly turn them into Ben Gurusha, Ben Chalutza, can we? So what would we do to them? So what Ula was asking is, we know that the halacha in that case, as the Mishnah in Malkus explains to us, is that you are chayev Malkus. So that's what Ula was asking. Where do we see a remez in the pasuk that an eid zomim that is not included in the kasher zamam, which is the standard response to eidim zomimim, where do we see that there's a chayev Malkus on him? Dichtiv, v'itzdiku et atzadik. So the case that Ula is talking about is actually what the whole point is of that pasuk of Yitzdiku et HaTzadik. Asks Ula, what does that pasuk even mean? Yitzdiku et HaTzadik, Yitzdiku et HaRasha, V'aya imbin hakot HaRasha. Huh? There's one, what does it have to do with the fact that they made the tzadik a tzadik? Does that have something to do with Malkus? Why are we saying that? Ah, the point must be, Ella, the issue is that came along first Edim that did the opposite. Edim Yeshua Tatzadik. Initially, what happened was, is that these Edim went along and they made a Tzadik a Rasha by testifying against him. Comes along Otto Edi Achrine. So now other Edim came along and they are Mitzdikim as Tzadik, meaning that they testify that these people were lying. So now they flip it around. V'shavinu lahanach rishoyim. They make the people who the tzaddik was now back into his position. Itzdiku that tzaddik. They turned that tzaddik back to the original innocent. And now they made the edim into rishoyim. And then it's saying, in the event that those evil witnesses, that's who it's referring to, in the event that the Rasha It was actually a bin hakota rasha, meaning that there's a case where we cannot be mekayim kasher zoman, and he was supposed to be killed. Then this is the way to give him alkas. There you see, says Ula, that the pasuk is being merames. There are cases where edim are going to be punished with malkas. That's the issue. But wait a minute. Is this really necessary, Ula? I mean, remember, there is a iser lav in the Torah, lo ta'aneh b'reacha etshaker. That's a regular mitzvah, lo ta'aseh. So if there is such a mitzvah, lo ta'aseh, then why in the world is that not enough of a reason to be mechay of the person malchus? After all, isn't there a general halacha that you are chay of malchus for a mitzvah lo ta'aseh? So I don't understand what the whole problem is. Answers the Gemara, because that is a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. You don't do anything for that. You're just simply talking. And kol lav she'ein bo ma'aseh is not going to be mechay of you malchus. And therefore, because of that, we had no basis for being Mechai of Yumalkas without this additional pasuk of Ula. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru. Now, let's see why Rabbi Shmuel argues, and he says you need 23. My time at a Rabbi Ishmael, so we only found a remez to Edim Zomimim that are Lokin in the context of Shvatun, which is 3-2 Dayanim, which become 3 because Ein Bez Din Shokol. Where does Rabbi Shmuel get the idea that there's actually a chiyav of a bezdin of 23? Amar Abaye, Atya, Rasha, Rasha, Michaive Mitot. He says we have a gzera shava. Here it says, Vaya imbin hakot harasha. And by the dinim of a chiyav of Misa, it says, Asher hu rasha lamut. There's a reference to a chiyav of Misa. So because of that, it must be that the Torah is comparing the two. If we have a gzera shava, and everybody actually agrees to this gzera shava, because we know that this gzera shava is applied by the Chachamim in many other cases, there's a lot of discussion. Normally we say, in gzera shava lemechza, and therefore it's a little bit strange that we don't actually buy into this gzera shava, according to the Chachamim, how they say it's not nogea the bezdin, but in any event, Rabbi Yishmael is very strongly mevusas on this gzera shava, mala halan be'esrim v'shlosha, afkan be'esrim v'shlosha. Rava Omar? Malkas b'makom misa omedes. Rava says you don't need to base it on the gzera shava, and it may be that Rabbi Shmuel even agrees that this is actually not based on the gzera shava, but rather it's because malkut b'makom mita omedet. Basically, the halacha is that someone who is over the Ratzon Hashem and actively does something against a mitzvah is chayev. And that chayev takes many different forms. So innately, we would say, listen, a person doesn't have a right to life if he violates the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, but we're not mechayev him anyway in all cases. So therefore, sometimes we give you Misa, sometimes we give you Malkus, but that means it's basically in the same set of Inyanim. Because of that, we require 23. Om Ravacha Breda Ravel Ravashi. So then, I don't understand. If you're telling me that essentially any person who's Chayav Malkus is really Chayav Misa, so then why do we go through this whole medical examination and we have to make sure that we give him only the closest malchus, but we can't give him the actual number of malchus that he's chayev because it may be dangerous for him. Who cares? If it's dangerous for him, let him drop dead. You're telling me that the truth is that the Torah was b'chayev in Misa. Except, okay, we were nice to him. We gave him, this is a type of Misa. So if he ends up dying because of the number of lashes that we give him, so what's our problem? Why do we need to give him this medical examination to have the undana beforehand? Why don't we just say undana lamali? Why give him a medical examination? Why not just lamachye? Give him malchus, and if he dies, he dies. Imeut lamut. Amalei said Ravashi to Ravacha. The reason is because the pasuk insists that he actually be punished with a Malchus while he is completely alive. That's the point. And therefore, we should say that since it says, V'nikla achicha le'enecha, and it needs to be achicha who is going to be beaten and therefore actually diminished in front of you. And therefore, in this case, you need to give him malchus while he is achicha, not when he died. So therefore, ki machita agaba dechaye machit. You need to actually punish him as he is your brother. And because of that, you can't give him malchus if he died. In which case, you have to be sure that he's going to be alive. Hello, the Tanya, so then why does it say that if we gave him a medical examination, and it turns out that he was only capable of safely getting 20 lashes. Esrim. So the halacha is we don't give him 20. We only give him the number of makot that are ru'uyot lehishtalesh. The halacha is that the makot have to be separated between the front of his chest and the back, his back on two sides, which means that he's going to be hit three different places. But from there, we learn that it needs to be mishtalesh. It needs to be divided by three. And therefore, we can't give him 20 because 20 are not divided by three. So the most we could do is give him 18. And that way, he gets six times three. But the problem is, if the issue of getting the medical examination is to make sure that he is given malchus only as he is alive, we could still give him 21. And then if he dies from that last one, what do we care? When he got the last one, he was still alive. So then it was ru'uyot v'yishtalesh. We're obviously concerned that he not die because of the issue that he not die. V'chi mayit v'hachad alema, so then let him die. At the time that you gave him the malchus, you gave him the malchus on a living person. Amarle said, Rav Ashi, that's a good point. But it says, v'niklo achicha le'enecha. That means you should diminish your brother in front of your eyes, which means that at the point that you have been mekayim this onesh of malchus, which is very demeaning to him, you shall see him in that state as your brother. And in this case, after he got that malchus, he would maybe drop dead. And ach shalok achicha b'ina, he needs to be your ach after he gets the malchus, not as he gets the malchus. And therefore that, v'leka, we don't have that, and we can't therefore give him more than 18. Now let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah, which talks about ibur hachodesh. So now, there's something very strange about that word. Ibur HaChodesh means that we will make the month longer, meaning that we will make it an actual, what we call the intercalation. In other words, we call it a pregnancy, so to speak. We view the moon, remember, always as a female as well. And the menses are linked to the moon. And therefore, we talk about the month itself as if it is a pregnant month. So it's a bigger month. Why do we say that it's the extra day that we need the Besdin for? The extra day happens by itself because the Besdin, if it's going to make a change, it would have to make a change because somebody came and saw the new moon on the day of the 30th. But if they didn't, if we were unable to make it a new moon on the day of the 30th, it would automatically be the new moon on the day of the 31st, which then becomes the first of the next month. And besides that, the main issue that a Besdin has to do, I would think, was the Chishuv. In other words, all of the astronomical examinations and all of the other issues that we need to take into consideration, which are very, very complex, because we don't necessarily make it a new month just because there were Aiden that claims that it was a new month. We need to make sure that it's going to be properly spread out over the year. We're not going to have too many short months, too many long months. Remember, we've got a big problem in keeping that year actually properly balanced because the month is not 29 days or 30 days, and it's not exactly 29 and a half days. If it was exactly 29 and a half days, we'd be able to make 1 month full and 1 month closer. And then we would have an average of 29 and a half days. Unfortunately, that doesn't work. In which case, you need to make certain that you don't get far away from the actual time of the new moon. So why doesn't it say Chishuv? Why doesn't it say the working out of the astronomical and other data that we need to take into consideration, which can sometimes include practical considerations? And it doesn't say Kiddush, which is also strange. Why doesn't it talk about being Mekadesh the month? Instead, it talks about the Ibur, and the Ibur doesn't even make sense, because why would the Beis Din need to have three people to say that this month is a longer month than it should have been? I understand. If you didn't say that the previous day was Rosh Chodesh, it's automatically a month. Lolikacha, so don't bother being Mekadesh the month, and then it would automatically become a full month. Umemele la'aber, Rabbiya, you're right. The Mishnah clearly is meant to be read as Kiddush HaChodesh, and that's the day that you have to be Mekadesh, the 30th day, and you have to go ahead and be Mekadesh that Kiddush HaChodesh. According to Abaye, it means all Kiddush HaChodesh, whether it's the 30th day or whether it's the 31st day, meaning whether the month was a chaser, that is a month of 29 days, or whether it was a month of 30 days, the Beis Din announces, and is Mekadesh the Rosh Chodesh, and that's what the Mishnah means. And in fact, Tanya Nami Ochi, Kiddush HaChodesh, note the Braita. The Braita said if you're going to be Mekadesh the month, or you're going to be Ma'aber the Shana, so it should have said, not Ibur Chodesh, it should have said Kiddush Chodesh. So Kiddush Chodesh requires three, and Ibur Hashana requires three, Divrei Rabbi Meir, and that would be the correct Girsa in the Mishnah. Omar Rava, that's a brilliant solution, except for one minor inconvenient problem, which is that what the Mishnah says is Ibur HaChodesh and not Kiddush HaChodesh. So I like the way that everything works out perfectly if we change the nature of reality. However, that's not the way I handle things. I say that it means exactly what it says. But here is what is meant. Ela Amar Rava, there's just a word missing. And what it's saying is, don't make the mistake of what it was that Abaye said, namely, that you need to do a Kiddush HaChodesh no matter what day that Kiddush HaChodesh is, whether it's the 30th day or the 31st day. No. The Mishnah is clarifying that the Kiddush on the Yom HaIbur, that's the only time that we need to make a Kiddush HaChodesh, is Bishlosha. So if you're making Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day, which was the day that was ra'ui to be the day that the month would become pregnant, but it didn't, then you need to be Mekadesh. But if it's not at the day of the Ibur, it's Achara Ibur, then there's no Kiddush at all. Not like what Abaye was saying. And therefore, I'm not changing the Mishnah. I'm simply saying that the word Ibur means and takes for granted on the Ibur HaChodesh, you need three. So that if you're going to be doing Kiddush HaChodesh, you would only be doing it on Ibur HaChodesh. And you would be doing it with three, but not if it's on the next day, which is not the Ibur HaChodesh. That is the entire point. Whose shita is that, says Rava? And according to whom would the Mishnah be following? Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok. Because in the Braita we see Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Im lo nir'eh bizmano, in mekadshinoto. If the Beis Din cannot make the day of the Ibur, meaning that it wasn't seen by Edim, and therefore the 30th day they couldn't make Kodesh, then they don't do anything. Shekvar kichu b'shabayim, because it already became a pregnant month, and therefore it's basically the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh, and there's no need for the Beis Din to get involved. So to speak, the Beis Din Shemala was already Mekadesh the Chodesh. Reb Nachman Amar. I tell you, you could say a different pshat in the Mishnah. You could say the exact opposite. And you could say that Kiddush only on that day, which is Acher Ibur, meaning only like we thought that it's the 31st day, then you need to be Mekadesh. But if Rosh Chodesh is on the actual day of the Ibur, then you would not be, which is really wild. So in other words, what's Reb Nachman saying? That if you need Shleisha Edim, it means specifically making the month Me'uber, the Dayanim, I mean, that's when you need the three Dayanim. So in other words, if it's a 31-day Rosh Chodesh, meaning that the month is 30 days long, then the 31st day requires a Kiddush HaChodesh to say Mikudash. But if it's a Kiddush HaChodesh on the 30th day, then you do not need it. Well, yes, you know who Shita this is, Umani. This is Plimo. Plimo, to said in the Braita, the Tanya Plimo Omer, Ein mikachinoto bismano mikachimoto. Sorry, Plimo Omer bismano ein mikachinoto. Only shalo bismano mikachinoto. So because of that, Plimo holds. The truth is that Plimo holds, according to the way the Gemara works this out, is that really there's no din minatera of Kiddush HaChodesh at all. The only thing was that the Rabbanan said that you should do it if it's necessary to let people know when Rosh Chodesh is. So people generally assume that the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh. So Mamela, if you made it differently, let them know that it was only the 31st day. Okay, and we have yet another explanation of the Mishnah. Rav Ashi says the Mishnah is talking about the Chishuv. It's actually referring to the entire din, which includes the astronomical data and anything else we need to take into consideration in the construction of the calendar. And it's not about Kiddush HaChodesh. And when it says Ibur, that's what it means. Working out the Ibur, the Chishuv of the Ibur, is what requires the Bezdin. So why did we use the word Ibur just to confuse us? No. Because, look, we were about to say Ibur Hashanah, right? And that means exactly what it says. Over there, we're discussing adding a month into the year. So because of that, we put the two together. Ibur HaChodesh, now we know that it doesn't, you don't require a Bezdin for Ibur HaChodesh. So Ibur HaChodesh means working out the Ibur. And actual Ibur Hashanah, and that way we keep the language parallel. So I did the Kabbalah Mitzvah Ibur Shana, Tanya Nami, Ibur Chodesh. Okay, so then that means, according to the way Rav Ashi is learning, we actually only use a Bezdin for working out the astronomical calculations and so on, but the Mishnah doesn't even talk about a din of Kiddush HaChodesh. Who holds that? Ah, that's the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer. The Tani Rebbe Eliezer, Eimer, Bein Bismano, Bein Shalo Bismano, in Mekachinoto. Oh my gosh, so we've got every different approach here. According to Plimo, the din is that you're Mekadesh only the month if it's a month Mu'ubar, and it's the 31st day that is Mekudesh. According to Abaye, you do both. You're Mekadesh both the Yom HaShloshim, or if it's a month of Shloshim, then you're Mekadesh the Yom Shloshim Ve'echad. According to Rava, you're only Mekadesh the Yom that is in a Chodesh Choser. Otherwise, it becomes automatically. And according to Rebbe Eliezer, you don't do Kiddush at all, because he says, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk, in reference to the year of Yovel, what does it say? V'kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim shana. Note that it repeats the word shana, shnat ha-chamishim shana. I mean, obviously, the shnat ha-chamishim is a shana. But what it's telling me is, the only business that you have of being Mekadesh in Bezdin is years. Shanim ata Mekadesh, v'i ata Mekadesh chodashim. And therefore, not only am I telling you the mitzvah of the Kiddush in Bezdin of the year of Yovel, but since I repeat the word Shana, I'm also telling you there is no other Kiddush in Bezdin. And months are not Mikudash. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says a very interesting halacha. We start off with three. Then we move to five. Then we move to seven. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, the Braita explains, Ketzad, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Bishlosha Matchilim. So first we take up the issue. Gentlemen, this court must decide whether we need to convene a special court in order to look at the data more closely and determine whether it's appropriate to have a leap year. Okay, so we talk about that. If they decide that they do, then b'chamisha nosim v'notnim, the extra special court consists of two additional dayanim, in which we now have five dayanim that are going to be discussing the astronomical data and so on. And then if they decide, yes, it's actually appropriate to add an extra month, they add two more dayanim, and they have now seven dayanim in order to announce the Shana Mu'ubarat. So let's go into the details. Let's imagine a case where you have one Dayan that says, I am convinced that we need to look into this further. And the two other Dayanim on that first Bezdin of three say, doesn't seem to us there's any need to examine it further. It should be just a standard year. Then that's it. It ends there. There's no point of it going any further because he's a minority and he is Boto. Suppose, however, in that Besson of three, Shnayim Omrim Leshev. Let's say two of the three judges say that we need to actually convene a special court. And one says, no, we don't. Well, then we go according to the Rof, and Mosifim Aleihem Od Shnai. We then have a Bezdin of five. Then the Bezdin of five sits and discusses the whole issue. Nosim v'notnim badavar. Let's imagine. Two out of the five say, we believe we should have a leap year. And three out of the five say, we don't. That's it. It ends there. And we go according to the majority. In Botla Shnai b'miyutan, the opinion of the two that claim that we do need to go further is simply ignore. How about if three say tzricha, v'shnayim omrim eina tzricha, then we convene the court, the full court of seven. So then we have to have mosifa leimot shnayim she'in haminyan pachot mishiva. If we're coming to be mekadesh a shana by adding an extra month into the year, we need a quorum. And a quorum in this case is actually seven, no matter what. So the question, by the way, is a little bit up in the air, because the only thing that we discussed over here is when there was a disagreement in the court, right? Three say yes, two say no. But what about if all of them agree that yes, do they still need to bring in another two dayanim? Or is that a din in the halach of how to be mekadesh? Or is that a din in how to make a determination of kiddush that you need this a five that are in favor? So that's the question. That's a machlokas rishonim about whether the din of seven is a din in kiddush no matter what. Even if all five agreed that we need kiddush, we're still going to have to be mosif dayanim. Or if hosafas dayanim is the way we generally view hosafas dayanim. It's where we have an argument. But if we don't have any argument, we don't need to be mosif. Fine. Okay, this is a machlokas, at least. I'm not really convinced it's a machlokas, but the Achronim believe it's a machlokas. The truth is, it seems very clear that you need to have seven for the actual din of saying mikudash. Well, where do we get this business? Three judges, five judges, seven judges. I mean, we had the moker of the halacha, what we saw earlier, about 23, and we saw about 70. But where do we get that there's a 3-5-7 din that we need to go through, like Rabbi Shmuel is saying? So that's actually machlokas between Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, who said the Iker din, and there was someone who argued that was Rav Shimon ben Pazi, actually was with him, or some say it was Rav Shimon ben Pazi was the one who had defined it, and then someone else, meaning Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, came along to argue. So one of them said, well, if you take a look at the psukim in Birkat Kohanim, So the first pasuk, Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, has three words. The second pasuk has five words. The third pasuk has seven words. So therefore, we have over here, where do we have the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an event that is taking place in just between people? There's only two such places where we actually take responsibility for the Zmanim. That's unbelievable, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to find out what the Zman is. So it says, if the Malachim want to know when is Rosh Chodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's go to Beis Din and find out. And the same thing is true. The presence of the Shekhinah, in which the Kayanim are Mevorech the Am, we see also that there's a gradual increase in how much we can take for granted the presence of the Shekhinah. It doesn't all come at one blast. So we first have the three psukim, the five psukim, and the seven psukim. So we do the same thing. It's very, very sweet. We do the same thing when we have the Beis Din that is going to be taking such a responsibility that the Hashros HaShekhinah should be in the Me'ad de Yisrael. We want to make sure that we do this gradually. Three, five, and seven. Fascinating. Whereas the other Maddi Omar, we're not sure who said what, because it depended on that Girsa. So V'chad Omar, there are three, we find that there are the Shomrei Hasaf. So in the Shomrei Hasaf, it says Beferish that, and this was unfortunately, this is in terms of the Churban, really, where all of this was spoken about. And it's there that we find out what it was that the Bavliim, and they sent the generals to take away the Kohen Gadol and the people who were achroy on the Beis HaMikdash. So it says over there, Vayikach Rav Tabachim et Siraya, who was the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Harosh, and it's Zephaniahu, who was the Skan, he was the Kohen Mishneh. And then it says, and he took at that time Shloshet Shomrei Hasaf. So we see that there were three people who were responsible for the Knesset to the Beis HaMikdash, and that is the first level of determination of what it is that we need in terms of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. Then we find another fascinating thing. The Torah talks about Chamisha Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech. Now there, it's also, unfortunately, also talking about that they took to Bavel. It says that they took all of these people, the Pakid Alanshe HaMilchama, and the Sofer, and the Sarat Sava, but it mentions over there, Chamisha Anashim Miro'ei Pnei HaMelech. So these Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech were apparently Dayanim that helped the Melech come to determinations about what to do, Al Pi Adin. So it's also a remez to Chamisha Chachamim that are able to be Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech, so it means the closer that you get to the Beis HaMikdash and to the Melech himself, this is Keneged, the Kedusha of the Mayadim, which is, of course, a Kedusha that defines the Halacha of Aliyah to the Beis HaMikdash and Riyasponim in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you have Shlosha Shemrei Hasaf, and then you have the Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech, and this is a Din in Re'iyah, and then we find that there's also Shiv'a Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech. This is a fascinating thing, because Rashi learns that the Shiv'a Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech is talking about Achashverosh, and this means the Shiva Ro'ei Pnei HaMelech. What in the world does that have to do with the Kedusha of the Kiddush Hashanah and so on? This seems rather strange. So basically, the idea over here is that the, as we say in the Gemara, Malchusa De'ara, Malchusa D'Regia is Kein Malchusa De'ara. So whatever we find to be the way, the minug of Malchus on earth is a remez to the sense of Kedusha that is actually being expressed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. That is the way that Rashi learns. Tosfos doesn't like that pshat, that we should be looking for the Stam, the Hanhaga of a non-Jewish king. So he says it's actually referring to another pasuk about the Churba, this one from Yirmiyahu, and not from the story actually in the original, the earlier story. But when Yirmiyahu talks about Menair Lakach Saris Echad Asher Ayah Pakira Anshei HaMilchama, there it says Vishiv'a Anashim So then that means that there was also a darga of shmira on the kedusha of the shiva re'ah pnei ha'melech. And since what we're coming to over here is re'ah's panim ba'azara, and the entire concept of kedushas ha'mayadim, asher tikra'u otam, therefore we have these three dargas in which we first start slow and we gradually come to greater and greater kavod as we come closer and closer to the Pnei HaMelech. Did you want to ask something, Rabbi Daniel? Yeah, but we're looking for this. We're looking for specifically advisors and in terms of din, so it should be connected to the halacha of din. That's the parshas.
Okay.
Toni, Rav Yosef, and in fact, there's a brayta like that. That hani shlosha chamisha v'shiva are keneged the shlosha shemre hasaf. Chamisha is the chamisha raya pnei hamelach, and the shiva is the shiva raya pnei hamelach. That's such a beautiful pshad when he said over the brayta. So Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, for heaven's sakes, here we are sitting around looking, trying to figure out, and we have these achrenim, meaning the Amoraim, and they're discussing what is this Geneged, and you knew this Braisa the whole time. Why the heck didn't you teach it to us? You should have told us this Braisa ages ago. Said Rabbi Yosef to him, I'm supposed to know that you're such an ignoramus, and you don't know the Braisa. I had no idea that you were confused about what the marker is of the 3, 5, and 7. And what are you yelling at me for? Tell me, did you ever ask me anything in your whole life that I didn't tell you? So what do you think, I'm hiding this from you? All you need to do, buddy, is ask. Okay, Rabosai. Wishing you all a Freilich Hanukkah, to be zeicha to all the shleisha, the chamisha, the shiva, and to actually be re'ah pnei ha'melech in the Beis Hamikdash, p'ri'ias panim b'hazara b'ezus Hashem, b'yamim ha'im b'zman hazeh. After all, it says, bo, they came, they were mekadesh, the dvir kachecha, they were made everything, it says b'ferish, achakach bo'u banecha, bo'u banecha, b'ezrat Hashem.